The Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM. A 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
I know, he gets there all the time. Now, with the weather for today, Thursday the 8th of June, for Lincoln, it's Ben Lewis.
Morning. So today's weather, highs of 17 degrees, lows of 12 degrees, of light rain throughout the day. And that is your weather report for this Thursday morning.
Love is fading, baby. I can see it in your eyes. The kisses taste the same, but it's just a sweet disguise. Ain't that just like you to worry about me? But we promise to be honest with each other for all eternity. And if you're looking for a way out, I won't stand in your way. But if you're looking,
don't run away. We've still got heaps of good material on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for Thursday, June the 8th. Yes, it's a pre-record because I'm in a field somewhere in North Yorkshire looking at horses, and Ben's probably tucked up somewhere. It's very important, Ben. You're not getting wet.
Cuddled up in bed.
Exactly. No. The new Lincoln Theatre, the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, let's get it right, have got an awesome event coming up, an awesome event. You've got Harry Baker, you've got Disraeli, you've got Sophia Walker and Holly McNish, and we've got Gemma Baker online now to share all the magic. Gemma, welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Good morning, Alex.
Here we are then. Finally, we connect together on a Morning Edition production. I know you're coming along to Inspired on Air the day before the grand spoken word night. But talk to us about the Word Theatre.
The Word Theatre is a year-long programme of spoken word events, and we are kicking it off on Thursday the 15th of June with the award-winning Maria Ferguson. She's just won Best Spoken Word Show for her show Fat Girls Don't Dance, which is the show she'll be performing on our launch night. So she incorporates ballet and dance and music and spoken word all together, so it's going to be really interesting. And she's going to be supported by Peterborough Poet Laureate Charlie Jennifer. We're going to have live music from Bethany Durrant and an open mic as well. So it's just a real celebration of spoken word and bringing a new level of spoken word to Lincoln.
Excellent. Now, I'm pleased you said Charlie Jennifer, because I wasn't sure what was Charlie Geneva when we actually did the tree.
Yes, the a lot of people get that wrong.
And we thought, is it Geneva? Is it Jennifer, etc.?
Yeah,
Ferguson,
Jennifer.
Now, the magic of the new Theatre Royal Lincoln is it's an awesome stage. I mean, you've got a real proscenium arts, you've got all manner of wonderful things that's been put together. How does it compare to some of the other events and venues that you've been performing in? Because I suspect, is this not rather like doing your poetry at Wembley Stadium?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's such a beautiful venue. It's a stunning theatre. I feel very lucky to have been given the opportunity to work with the team, because they are just so passionate about the local community and arts, and they've been so supportive. So, yeah, I can't wait. Very excited, but very nervous, but very excited.
Ben.
Yes. What do you feel the biggest highlight would be out of this performance? Is there anything, any particular favourite moment in this performance that you particularly enjoy?
For the upcoming launch night? Mm.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Is there some sort of highlight that people can look forward to?
Will the busker in the bar perhaps be something that emerges as an amazing sort of routine? You know, a busker possibly with or without alcohol? Unlikely to be without alcohol, given the poets involved.
Absolutely. So. Well, yeah, the busker in the bar slot really is at the end of the night. It's just a chance for everybody to get together, audience and performance, and have a chat. And spoken word really to me is about building connections and building community, so I really want to emphasise that point by giving people an opportunity to chat at the end. So, you know, there's a lot of highlights that I'm looking forward to. I mean, all the performers that are on are going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm really looking forward to the open mic, to be honest, because that's what it's all about, giving local people an opportunity to get up there and do it themselves. So we're doing a pre-show workshop to sort of give them a bit of advice and give them a bit of confidence. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that, because that's where I started, just getting up on an open mic at a theatre and giving it a go. So, yeah, I'm excited for it all.
An event which will cement Lincoln as a spoken word destination. Cement
Absolutely.
Lincoln as a spoken word destination.
Absolutely.
There are still people who remember your debut on Sire and Gemma, where you actually gave us the wonderful monologue Ode to a Fly, the sort of buzzy fly that was actually there. I won't ask you to do it again. I mean, not this time of the day. No, it'll happen. You know, but might we see some kind of reprise of the fly kind of emerging in this event, where you say, no, it's an insect-free zone?
Well, the insects always welcome, but I won't be performing on the night. I am compere, and I shall give the stage to all these wonderful poets and let them do their work.
Gemma compares with great hair.
Always. Yeah, it's really, you know, spoken word has really grown in Lincoln, as you know, over the last sort of year and a half. And, you know, we've got poets coming to the area now and emailing me and saying, can I come and perform in Lincoln? Because they know that it's a growing spoken word destination. And I think this event will cement Lincoln. We've got so much to celebrate here culturally and the arts, and spoken word is one of them. So, yeah, definitely, we're putting ourselves on the map.
And in addition to that, of course, who knows, you might end up being signed up by our building society to actually do free adverts for them in various other ways. No, I actually say free adverts, so who knows what could actually happen. Ben, any closing thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, well, how would, you know, if people wanted to find out more about this,
how
what's going on?
How do they find
Absolutely. Out?
What are the contact details?
If you look at, search for At The Word Theatre on Twitter, Facebook or Instagram, you will find us there and be able to keep up to date with all the latest information. And if you want to buy tickets, which would be really great, go to thenewtheatreroyallincoln.co.uk and you will be able to find tickets on there. So it's Thursday the 15th of June, 7:30 to 10:30, The Word Theatre.
And just see the facebook.com/ The Word Theatre. It's marvellous. No connection to the old Terry Christian series from ITV back in the day, which was a
different... I didn't even hear of that.
Oh, you're too young. You're too young to remember that. Gemma, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Oh, of course, as always, Alex.
And will you be joining us for the eve of the whole event that will be the spoken word night at the New Theatre Lincoln on the 15th? Will you be joining us for Inspired On Air as we sort of put together a package there which features yourself and indeed probably folk talking about the Lincolnshire show as well?
Absolutely, can't wait.
Hooray! W-O-R-D, we're coming up. Keep it coming up. So do your dance quick. Mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word. Ow!
Sister and your mom, too, 'cause they're about to throw down, and you know just what to do. Wave your hands up.
Scholar, festival ambassador, and midweek drivette. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Hooray! Eva, I had a feeling that at this particular moment in time that yourself and Ben would have been with me in a wet field in Bramham, but as it is, I'm taking one for the team and going there with my brother and myself, really.
So where are you at the moment, Alex?
Where am I at the moment? Are we speaking geographically, metaphysically, metaphorically? Somewhere in the British Isles, I think it's fair to say. We don't want to panic the listener too much in terms of it. Could be an ethereal system from that point of view. Ben's in the studio, though.
What? Morning.
Hello.
Good.
Hi.
So, moving on. Eva sent me a heartfelt email a matter of days ago effectively say, on this coming Sunday, that's the 11th of June, there's a major, major event going on for a very, very worthy cause. Eva, would you like to tell us all about it, please?
Yes. So, on Sunday, this coming Sunday, 11th of June, I am doing a charity photo shoot. To raise money for the Brain Tumour Charity as one of their young ambassadors. And I've got about 6-7 models and 6-7 photographers and then an MUA, which stands for Makeup Artist. And they're just basically going to be doing a charity photo shoot and sort of rotating around for the day. And I've organised all of this, lots of stress. But it's worked out really well, so that's what I'm going to be doing.
This sounds good, and actually, Ben, sounds as though you could actually be a last-minute assistant to actually sort of help with PR of this side of things. Because,
I thought you were going to be me being one of the people getting made up on.
No, I mean, unless you fancy the makeover, I mean, I don't know. It's but as you say,
I'll try not to crack any camera lenses.
Ben, would you like to quiz Eva a little bit more and on behalf of the listener find out more about how people can go to Just Giving and support this particular page and also raise the profile of the Brain Tumour Charity?
Yeah, what do the charity get up to? Is there anything particularly, do they support or do they carry out the medical help themselves or do they support a particular hospital? Is there anything in particular the charity do?
They sort of support victims and survivors of brain tumours, and they sort of raise the awareness of brain tumours and their symptoms, and all their fundraising that they do, it goes towards medical research and getting like symptom cards and like presents that they can give the children for the Brain Tumour Charity. So all the victims that have been like affected by brain tumours, the charity will help them. And that'll either be through medical research or through comforting things that can help them along the way.
Good.
Can people come along to this cruise? I mean, I'm just sort of, where do they go, Eva? Is it open to the public? Do they just support you online? What would you like to see happening on Sunday the 11th of June?
Well, I've created this event, so it's sort of like a closed event really, but I want to be doing like more open events in the future because this is actually my first one.
Okay.
So it's my first bit of fundraising that I've done solo,
And it's gone very well, actually, surprisingly. But I have got a Just Giving page, if anybody would like to go to it. That's justgiving.com/fundraising/Eva-McDonald1.
There can only be one, so let's face it, Eva-McDonald1 is there.
Number one.
And what about your Facebook page? Is there a Facebook site we can go to as well?
I haven't created a Facebook group. I've only done like the fundraising page. I mean, so, I've got private groups for the chat.
No, that's all right. I have Facebook and Just Giving page for the event, and I wasn't sure whether you actually sort of set that up to the public as well.
Just Giving one.
No. So it's a small step, really, from that perspective. Really, a small step to probably a larger event from that. Any name checks for the models and photographers that are taking part? Because after all, they're doing it out of the goodness of their hearts and, of course, love for Eva McDonald. And why not?
Why not? Yes, I have got the names of the photographers.
Nice.
And the models.
Yes.
I haven't really check with them so I can give them out on it.
That's okay. We appreciate that. They might want to literally just do this on a completely free of charge gratis basis because they're just little angels, which is wonderful. But you can say from us that if they'd like to have some pre-publicity, post-publicity after the event, we're more than happy to do so. So it's justgiving.com fundraising, Eva-McDonald1. That'll take you there. Ben, have you managed to locate the thing as yet?
I haven't just yet, but I can have a quick peep for you.
Just having and a quick then, sort of shufty at this particular moment in time. And can people, is it a case of, is it sponsored per face? Is it sponsored per event? Is it how long you can sit in the chair? How many photographs? What are the kind of criteria by which you're asking for support here?
Well, all the money that will be raised, it will go towards the charity.
Yes.
And go towards their medical research.
Well, let's face it, it's not going to get you citizenship of the United American Republic, is it? Which is another lie in terms of crowdfunding, but step away. Yeah, good. So we will go with that. Any successes yet, Ben?
I found Eva McDonald, but I don't think it's the right one.
Oh, it's not the right.
I'm having a look.
Not the right Eva McDonald. Any further details? Obviously, you can first. We'll try and chase it up before the end of the program.
I can send you over the link actually. It's over Facebook if you'd like to put that away. Much better, easier.
That would be even more wonderful, and that's just perfect from that point of view.
I might do that then.
Okay, upcoming. Hopefully, William Sitwell will be joining us. We may still squeeze in a little smidgen of Alan Stevens in this Midweek Drive Morning Edition for Thursday the 8th of June. But if something has actually happened to sort of open up a whole range of things, why haven't they referred to that? Well, we are pre-recording it on the Wednesday, so it's kind of like 24 hours earlier. We've predicted the future. We've predicted that it's going to be a very wet Thursday. Oh, hello. You see what she's doing there? She's doing magic in the background. She's singing songs. She's opening up all sorts of things. It's super. any success, Ben?
No.
It's all right.
I found various other pages for the charity, but not your one.
I'll send you the link.
Well, the link will manifest itself. Eva, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have, thank you.
Short but sweet. Will you be back with us in the very near future? Probably next week, in fact.
Of course I will.
And of course, Eva will be attending the Lincolnshire show with us as well. So it's all very, very exciting. Yay! Leanne Womack, I Hope You Dance. The link that we've now confirmed is the correct one for the Just Giving page for the Just Giving event that's taking place on Sunday. Actually, it's not the Just Giving event, it's Eva McDonald's event, where she's raising money to help the brain tumour charity, is www.justgiving.com/fundraising/ Eva, EVA, hyphen McDonald, MACDONALD. One, and it's the number one. Even Ben should be able to access that, because if I managed to do it, then hopefully Ben's been able to do it as well. It'll come through. Oh, the excitement. It's the anticipation that's worthwhile waiting for, just as we occasionally wait for the anticipation of William Sitwell, who may be with us. Then again, he may not be. We will try the number one more time and see if, in fact, we can actually reach it, or whether we'll actually get his voicemail. We'll just sort of wait and see. It could well be voicemail.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, dear.
Please consult...
Well, that's not very good at all. We will try one more time to hopefully reach William before the end of the particular production that is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Meanwhile, back to the weather.
Now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend who is William Sitwell.
One day he'll stand for Prime Minister. Good morning, William. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you very much.
Good. Summer rain, of course, is what we're experiencing in Bramham at present because, oh, Lord, the weather is very strange. That's the reason we're actually doing this 24 hours beforehand. Amazing. Spookily so. But still, I don't know, connect with you on a Wednesday. We've done it in the past, but it's been a rare treat, really. It's normally a Thursday morning, but now here we are Wednesday. Ben Lewis is with us in the studio.
Morning. Morning, William.
Hello, Ben.
And we've just congratulated Eva MacDonald on already securing over, reaching and exceeding her target for a charity shoot she's doing on Sunday for the Brain Tumour Charity. So well done, Eva. That's good news indeed.
What's she shooting?
Well, she's actually arranged a fashion shoot with photographers and makeover artists as an internal event, a summertime shoot. To quote from Eva herself on her Just Giving page, a charity photo shoot for the Brain Tumour Charity because she wants to raise money to help them with their work. It's the first event she's ever raised, actually, Ben. Oh, the first time she's ever done.
Hasn't even commenced yet either. So
exactly. So good news there. Ben, questions for William Sitwell, please.
Yes, William. What have you been up to lately with your travels? Is there anything you can report on with us? Bear in mind, I haven't spoken to you in the last 2 weeks or so.
What have I been doing? I right now I'm hunkering down.
Oh,
but I went to Paris, I think last weekend. And right now we're trying to stop more trees from falling over in the garden and knocking down walls.
It's the British summer at work.
You've been inspired by the Chelsea Flower Show, have you, by any chance?
I did go, actually. Yeah,
it got a bit of flack this year, William, the Chelsea Flower Show, on the grounds that it was
flack.
It got flack. I mean, we always say that as far as the North of England Horticultural Society is concerned, the Harrogate Flower Show is the Chelsea of the North, but is much more friendly and accessible than Chelsea. Oh, hello. They see Chelsea obviously online there immediately to sort of say, no, it's not an elitist flower show whatsoever. Anybody with an average salary, which is in eight figures, can easily afford one of our makeovers.
Yeah. Well, I blagged my way in, and I was looking at the Warner Edwards still that they had in the Raymond Blanc Cafe. They were actually distilling gin, on the premises, which was quite fun. They're a wonderful gin producer in Northamptonshire, and they make gin with elderflower and rhubarb. They steep rhubarb juice in the gin, which is great. So I was there and I had a look around. I thought there were some pretty extraordinary gardens. It's always amazing how they managed to plant trees and put ponds and small lakes and stuff around there. And there were some very good fake hedges in the shapes of dinosaurs, and giraffes and teddy bears.
Yes, topiary. And, topiary has become a kind of in thing more than
Edward Scissorhands. Fake topiary.
No, I can't believe it. Fake topiary. Sorry, that's almost as shocking as seeing a quote from William Sidwell's latest Facebook correspondence, "I've got two pips." I think that's wonderful. I think that's probably the best.
That was just a message to you saying, call me, I've got two pips.
Exactly.
That was a private message between the two of us.
Oh, well.
Crazy man. Well,
private exchange. Yes. He's declared the private exchange.
Sometimes I just feel that even the quotes that's actually put out there is just so wonderful. I feel, in fact, I could always have that as a title for an autobiography. I've got two pips. Exactly. A message that's actually there. We're just about to approach the Lincolnshire Show, which, of course, kicks off in a fortnight's time from us, from this side of things. And we've got the Great Yorkshire Show as well. We're in the season of shows and festivals. Do you get a chance to leave the office, William, to check out some of these grand summer events and seasonal things that are happening?
I do. I try and get out and about now and again. Sure. We have our own shows here in Northamptonshire. There's a big food fair at Allthorpe, and then there's, of course, the Toaster Food Festival that takes place this Saturday, which I'm the patron, and it happens at Toaster Racecourse, which is amazing. And, yeah, I try and get out and about today. Now and again, today I'm at a memorial service for the great Toby Grafty Smith, my friend who founded Jamiroquai,
yes,
which is why you find me with only two pits in the countryside looking at falling down trees.
Well, you know, there's always a reason. That's an important point from that point of view. And in fact, we'll have a look out for some Jamiroquai material just to actually wrap up the piece. Ben, any final thoughts from yourself?
Yes, William, is there any kind of seasonal food we should be on the lookout for now we're approaching summer?
Well, I think there should still be some nice Jersey Royals out there. And if you can get your hands on some of those sweet potatoes, they are absolutely phenomenal. And the best thing to do, I think, with them is give them a light boil for about 8 minutes, and then, you know, crush them gently with a spoon and put them in a hot pan with a little bit of olive oil. Let them crisp up, and then put a little tiny bit of mold and salt on them. And absolutely delicious. That and some chicken and olive mayonnaise. And I'll see you through to September.
Once again, William delivers.
Sounds delightful.
He shoots, he scores. Deeper Underground, I'm in the Mood for Love, Little L, Love Philosophy, Virtual Insanity, Cosmic Girl, Canned Heat, Return of Space Cowboy, Cloud Nine, 7 Days in Sunny June, I see where they're going there, White Knuckle Ride, All Good in the Hood, Emergency on Planet Earth, Automaton. What would you like from Jamiroquai as a tribute?
I think you should play for a tribute to Toby Grafty Smith, and we're celebrating his extraordinary life today. This was an amazing musician, incredibly gifted pianist, a fantastic music producer, produced Will Young, wrote songs for One Direction, worked with Mumford & Sons, produced The Hoosiers. And Going Underground is a phenomenal song because it shows his dexterity. This is a song written by, you know, a middle-class English white boy. Listen to the music and you'll realise that actually the kind of funky tunes that he was writing didn't just have to come from parts of America. You know, they could come out of the beautiful rolling countryside of Buckinghamshire from a wonderful double-barreled named Toff, Toby Grafty Smith, wonderful legend, great pal of mine.
William, we'll speak again next week. Fingers crossed, all being well.
CaldorCity.com Magic Bullet Productions and Aisha and Zukov, now at last has his own station ident. It'll take just that teeny bit longer for Fiona Moore.
We're just trying to get the lie of the land. Good morning, Forrester Dean correspondent Alan Stevens. How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
Very good. Ben Lewis is with us in the studio, so he's all set and ready to share magic and such like. And we are now into the final tranche of episodes for season 10 of Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi's final season. Does Get the Lie of the Land still continue to float your boat? Or does the Lie of the Land sort of work through that basis? Or is it a case of, I was so annoyed that Missy was behind that door, that I really thought, what are they doing?
Right, Lie of the Land, that was the last episode, was it?
Yeah, it was.
So it's a kind of three-part story, wasn't it, set on Earth with these monk things.
Yes.
I can't say I was remotely moved by it at all, to be honest. I found it really quite tedious to watch and found it difficult to watch. Mm. As for Missy being behind the door, you often hear fan rumours where they say, you know, things, and you think, oh, hey, what a banal and an interesting idea. Clearly that's not going to happen. And unfortunately, it did. So everyone appeared to guess it. Oh, it's Missy behind the door. And it was Missy behind the door. Mm. I didn't quite understand how, I think episode 3, there was a sort of huge banging on the door, like some enormous fist. And yet later we discovered she's in some kind of, there's the vault, and in the vault is some kind of like Hannibal Lecter-style environment where she's surrounded by force field or glass or something. So quite how she reached the door and why she made that noise is never explained. Probably because they thought we'd all forgotten about it by the time we reached, you know, it was revealed to me, Missy or something. So, you know, I can't really comment on the story because it was so boring. I've forgotten most of it, bar the fact these monk things came to Earth and did assimilation of Earth and discovered that someone was going to release a virus somewhere which would kill everybody, and therefore they would tell us where the virus was if we all became their mates. And and then they lied and told us they'd been there for years.
He sold the DVD to me, certainly.
Sorry?
Yeah, does that sound like the series in a nutshell so far? I think you
kind of... Not really. I don't think it's even... I mean, the first episode of the series is very good, I thought, and Billy was, you know, a good character, well-introduced, and the second episode was okay, and the third one was all right, and probably the best one was the zombie ones, or the astronauts. That was excellent, actually, but... Since then, I've the last three episodes, I've been, you know, increasingly bored and frustrated with it. I mean, I next week looks better, actually. I mean, it's got the Ice Warriors in, so, like, you know, and it's...
And the politically correct Ice Warriors, because it is Empress of Mars as opposed to Emperor of Mars.
Well, they had to breed at some point, wouldn't they? They weren't, you know, unless they had some kind of Sontaran...
Exactly, or they could have been like the amoeba and simply actually separated.
I don't think it's politically correct to say, you know, oh, look, there's a woman on there. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's probably, you know, I think political correctness isn't quite the right term, is it? I mean, it's probably, you know, just because we've only seen male ice warriors in the four stories we saw, or is it five stories we've seen?
How do we know that they were male ice warriors, though?
Well,
made an assumption there. I mean,
well, they were played by men, weren't they?
There are those people who would have said that Alpha Centauri, being a hermaphrodite, wasn't a clearly obvious hermaphrodite, but, you know...
But he was an ice warrior, was he?
Or she.
I'm talking about ice warrior, not Alpha Centauri from Alpha Centauri, which is convenient, isn't it?
Just testing Alan. Do you watch the series with your father, by the way, in Forrester Dean, or is it a case of you kind of go to a separate part of the house?
No. He actually quite enjoyed the first part of the series, and he's finding this new story fairly boring, to be honest. Mm. He just falls asleep in the middle of it. And I'm not really surprised, because I find it quite boring. I find
like
quite
father,
boring
like son,
well.
Then.
Yeah, clearly, exactly.
Well, not quite, no.
Well, it's a definite thought, though, where we just see what Empress of Mars will actually have in store.
Is that what it's called? I mean, the thing is that I can't even remember the name of the episodes now.
Oh,
you know, I could actually list every single episode of the classic series, and you know, I'm currently watching Blake 7. I've never reached season 3. Yeah. on DVD.
Listen, last week your discussion and debate about Blake Seven with Ellie Sample.
I could name all those episodes in order.
I could just leave the microphones up and just left them to it, basically.
Yeah. And the director and the writer on each episode. It's I mean, I think the last episode was written by Toby Whitehouse, wasn't it?
Mm.
So there you are. You know, I wonder. The reason I know that is because I thought, who wrote this crap? it was Toby Whitehouse. So that makes sense.
So there we have it. You see, Chris Chibnall clearly is waiting in the wings.
It's like that, isn't it? It's like, you know, well, I'm sure it's going to come back under Chris Chibnall. It's probably going to be dreadful. So, you know, we don't really have to try too hard. You know, if it was like, you know, someone who actually... See, the thing is, you know, I remember watching like Claudius and they had a... Tiberius said, okay, well, they said, I think Tiberius is going to make Caligula his successor. And they said, why? He said, well, Tiberius was a pretty terrible emperor, and yet Caligula would be worse. So they look back on Tiberius and miss him. And, you know, so I think the reason they got Chris Chibnall in the first place is because, you know, in years' time, they look back and they say, oh, well, you know, Chris Chibnall killed the show, and it was terrible under him, and, you know, we all miss Moffat now. But because Chibnall is so bad, you know, I don't think Moffat really has to feel he has to really push him, put himself out or try, really, or certainly based on the standard of his last three episodes. Is that
clearly,
too cynical?
Clearly, the views of our contributors do not necessarily reflect the views of Siren FM or indeed the Madrid
Diamond Edition. Did you like it?
Like is a very strong word. I mean, put it this way, it's no Wonder Woman, but it's an okay passage of time.
What do you mean, the 70s Wonder Woman you're
either,
talking about?
Either 70s or indeed the motion picture. Either way, but... Yeah.
You were bored by it, weren't you? You're just a teensy bit bored.
I felt there was a certain exercise in box ticking that was going on, but still better than reality television would probably bring us. Anyway.
Well, yeah, that's like finding, you know, the worst possible comparison. You know, it's better than, you know, rampant acne. Yes, it's better than having your arm torn off or being burnt in the blade.
Already we're talking it up, you see. So it's good news.
It's better than being eaten by piranhas. Yep, I think that's probably the. But you could put that on the film poster, couldn't you, or the TV, whatever these posts.
It's better than being eaten by piranhas, which brings us neatly around to Ben putting those last two questions to your good self, Alan Stevens.
You're asking him for a score of 10. You normally do, don't you?
Go on, what's the score out of 10 for this episode? Yes.
Well, if you say 10 was the top and 1 is like 0, yes. I'd say about 4.
All right. The Lie of the Land scores 4.
What about your father's? Has he rated it himself as well? Or?
I don't think he can even remember it.
Message is quite clear. Meanwhile, those last two questions remain, Ben.
Alan, have you enjoyed your Tenophonic Lymphus on the show this morning?
Yes.
And will you be joining us again in the not-too-distant future?
Supposedly, you talk about the next episode, Empress of Mars.
Mm, mm.
Next week, then.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, all good stuff. Actually, we may have to, again, juggle things around a little bit with respect to that, because who knows what could be happening at that sort of time with exam meetings, external examiner meetings. It's all very hectic. And so there we are, the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for June the 8th has wrapped up. Have a splendid day. Stay warm, stay dry. Go out with a shower. Go out with an umbrella. Protect yourself against the showers. We thank, in no particular order, although we might as well use the running order in which they joined us, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Eva McDonald, Gemma Baker, Eva McDonald, William Sitwell, and Alan Stevens, and you, dear listener, for joining us. Have you enjoyed the programme, Ben?
I did indeed.
Excellent. Great stuff coming up as far as Siren's concerned. A past prologue, which actually deals with elections across the era, if you're still interested. 7 o'clock this evening. A whole heap of other good things happening on Thursday, June the 8th. That's it, Ben. Can we say bye-bye?
Goodbye.